But no, 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 no,
what
no.
What deal?
No, 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 yeah. No. Not hell no. Hell no. No. For what?
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya's Wednesday, July 3. You excited for July 4th? I mean, sure. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet beer money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it, but in Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason. Today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right, so a couple more extra days of free agency madness, and today we are wrapping up a bunch more of that latest free agency kind of insanity with our man in Amsterdam, Matt O'Gorman. That's right, man, from the Hoops podcast and the best bloody Australian band going, British India. Which is awesome. So we've got a bunch of free agency yeah-nahs with him, as well as a juicy flame grill take from our back takehouse, and loads of other good stuff. It's really good. So stick around and enjoy the chat with Matt. The best bit is we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR, which is pretty cool. He's answering a question from Kevin in New York, which will be really good. Thanks, Jingles. All right, man, this is a really, really, really fun one. Who knows if Kawhi ends up somewhere while this actually is uploading or whatever, but whatever. It's NBA Straya episode 313. Let's go.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the attack of Kawhi. Probably ending up on the Lakers or something. Oh, jeez. Anyway, I'm going to start today's show quickly with a bit of a daily whip around. That's right. It's the way we start every show here in NBA Australia. Look, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. So much stuff. We've got a bit of a free agency that we're going to wrap up right now before we get to Matt. But we also have a little bit of Australian news as Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and the Philadelphia 76ers are apparently working out a five-year, $170 million maximum contract extension, which is pretty bloody great. Look, we talk about it a little bit later with Matt, but I love it just because get that bag, Big Simo. Get it. Gets paid. It's Tom Boyd coin. No, that's great. So, look, Philly, loading up hardcore. Tobias Harris got that bag. Joel Embiid already got that bag. Simo out there trying to get that bag. It's pretty good. So, hopefully that happens. And in the meantime, yesterday, like, we've got a bunch of signings or whatever, but the four-team deal between Miami, the Sixers, Portland, and the Clippers finally kind of seemingly went through. So Miami get Jimmy Butler and Myers Leonard. The Sixers get Josh Richo Richardson. Portland gets Hassan Whiteside as a Yusuf Nurkic replacement for at least a year. And the Clippers get Mo Harkless and a first rounder. So there you go. Portland jumping in there, getting rid of Myers Leonard. He goes to Miami. Mo Harkless goes to the Clippers. The Clippers also get a first rounder in there too. I mean, sure, that's a win for the Clippers. Just out of nowhere, just going, oh, yeah, we'll help facilitate that. We'll take Mo Harkless, you little ripper. We're just going to wait on Kawhi to make a decision, and away we go. So, good stuff there. All right, so, free agency. Let's wrap up the last day in a bit of news, shall we? So, we've got a couple of names left, but we'll get to that at the end. But in the meantime, people who have signed since we last spoke. Kevon Looney goes back to the Warriors, 3 years, $15 million, because apparently the rest of the fucking NBA was asleep at the fucking wheel. How does he go back at 3 years, $5 million a year? That's absolutely bananas. The rich get richer. I mean, sure. All right, Patrick Beverley's going back to the Clips on a 3 year, $40 million deal. Get that bag, Pat Bev. Great story for him. Seth the Shit One. Curry gets $32 million. That's right. $32 million actual American dollars from the Dallas Mavericks for 4 years. Seth Curry. It's like, all right, yeah, he can shoot on the odd occasion, but he's still the shit one. Oh, wow. That's brutal. Willie Cauley-Stein, late of the Sacramento Kings, is going to the Golden State Warriors, which is absolutely bananas. Taking the boogie cut. Another, you know, former Kings center taking the Warriors center spot. Just like, boogie! That's 1 year slightly above the minimum, which is fucking bananas. How he doesn't end up on the Celtics is beyond me, Willie Cauley-Stein. But anyway, speaking of the Celtics, Enes the Penis Kanter is there. 2 years, $10 million. That's great. Absolutely stoked for the Celtics. Because the Sixers will just run right over the top of Enes the Penis. speaking of the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, the king in the fourth. He's going to the Wizards on a one-year deal. Wes Matthews, this is a sneaky, pretty good pickup for the Bucks. One-year deal for Wes Matthews to Milwaukee. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. Kylo Quinn is going to go to the Sixers, which is pretty cool and pretty handy as well for the Sixers. Just add another shooty big man. I mean, kills Jonah Bolden, to be fair, but oh well, look, Kylo Quinn's pretty good. Dwayne Dedmon goes to the Sacramento Kings. 3 years, $41 million for Dwayne Dedmon. Corey Joseph, he goes to the Kings as well. 3 years, $37 million. The Kings just out there throwing around money like it ain't no thing. Just like James Harden in the strip club. Make that joke a little bit later as well. Rashawn Holmes goes to the Kings. 2 years, $10 million. Jeff Green goes to the Utah Jazz. I believe that's a soft J. On the one-year minimum. Manny Moutier is also going to the Utah Jazz on a one-year deal, helping out with Dante Exum and the rest of that backcourt there, that rebuilt backcourt in Utah. Mike Conley, Donovan fucking Mitchell, Dante, son of Cecil Exum, Kangaroo Kobe right there. Pretty handy. Jordan Bell is in Minnesota. Daniel Tice is going to the Celtics, back to the Celtics, 2 years, $10 million. Brad Wanamaker as well is returning to the Celtics. Noah Vonleh is going to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is a bit of a surprise because everyone expected the Knicks to like pay him like $60 million for 2 years or something. Something else completely Knicks-y. And Jared Dudley, perhaps tasting the air, putting, you know, finger up in the air and just going, I reckon Kawhi is going to go to the Lakers. So it's been my all-time dream to be a Laker. So Jared Dudley's going to the Lakers on a $2.6 million one-year deal. Good on you, Duds. He was very handy for that Nets team this year. And also, you know, just there's a veteran presence in a locker room that'll be full of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and probably Kawhi Leonard. Like, seems pretty handy. So there you go. There's a bunch of names. And look, pretty much everything is off the board now, apart from, obviously, as mentioned, Kawhi Leonard. He's just out there basking in the fucking sun as the only remaining free agent. Just like a blue-tongued lizard just laying in the middle of the fucking road. Unfortunately, he's not going to get run over, is he, Kawhi? So that's awesome. We talk about this at length with Matt a little bit later, so stick around for that. But yeah, the tea leaves on that one seem very, very interesting. Speaking of tea leaves, DeMarcus Boogie! Cousins is also left out there as well, seeing where he can get a new gig. I wonder if he ends up with the Lakers with Kawhi. Interesting. Danny Green is still out there as well. He might end up on Dallas, depending on what Kawhi does. Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris. Let's get some Morris twins in New York. I said it on Monday. Let's do the damn thing. Still out there. Justin Holiday, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Kelly Oubre also out there. So a couple of restricted dudes. Rondae not getting a gig yet is pretty weird. Curious to see what he ends up going for, you know. All D, switchy kind of dude, but who can't shoot. Bit tricky. Kelly Oubre Jr., just expect him back on Phoenix, and away we go. So there you go. That is your latest free agency update. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. The good part is we've got our mate, Matt O'Gorman, to talk about that with us for a bunch of yeah nahs right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, I mentioned it at the very top of the damn show. We're bringing on one of my favorite people to talk basketball with. He's taller than Luke Longley. He's got a bigger extension lead than Ben Simmons. He's in one of Australia's best ever bands, British India. He's one half of the ever entertaining Hoops podcast. It's bloody Matt O'Gorman. Matt, how you going?
Hey, man, what's happening? Can I just say congrats on another awesome season? I listen to your podcast every day. I bloody love it. It's the best, and it's an honour to be on the show with you, man. Like I said, I listen every day, so it's great to get to chat to you, man.
Thanks, man. I think you've just got a predilection for gingers, though, sitting next to Mike so often.
Dude, it's just ginger central, brothers. It's gingers everywhere, man, and I kind of like it that way, you know?
I dig it. Man, so what's the last couple of days been like for you trying to track free agency? Has it been as mental as it has been for me?
It's hectic. Like that first day, it was literally just bombshell after bombshell. It was just, you know, news after news, and it was just shock. Like, I think, like, a lot of the deals happened in the morning, and then I think it was the D'Angelo to Golden State was just like, what the hell is going on, man? This is just insane. So, yeah, I think I've got my head around it now. Just waiting on Kawhi.
Yeah. I mean, I think the move it from midnight to 6 p.m. the day before made a massive difference, didn't it? Like, the amount of, like, deals that actually got done in that sort of first 7-8 hour period versus, like, usually what had happened where you'd have, like, a flurry for the first 2 hours and then everyone's motherfucker, it's like 3 a.m., I'm going to bed. Like, it made a huge difference, and it was really cool.
Are we going to say this has been the most entertaining first day of free agency ever? I mean, I can't remember anything more crazy than what happened 2 days ago.
It's easily been the busiest and the most fun and, like, the most crazy, like, by far, isn't it? It's crazy. Like, yeah. So before we go into doing yeah nahs with you, Matt, what we're going to do, literally, what was the one move that you liked the best out of everything that happened?
Yeah, that's a good one. What did I like the most? Look, this is going to sound really, really boring, but I like the idea. I love Kemba Walker. Yep. I love Kemba Walker in Boston. I think that's a really good idea. I think he's a... You know, he's got that kind of Damian Lillard Portland vibe about him that he's going to stay there and they're going to build around him. I really like that move. I kind of love the idea of Kyrie being in Brooklyn because that clearly wasn't working out in Boston. I think those two, man. I mean, there are so many. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it all now. Those two definitely stand out right now. In a minute, I'll probably have another one because that's how hectic it was. What about you, dude?
Just for, like, you know, laughter's sake, I think that, like, Jimmy Butler just going, fuck it, I'm going to go it alone in Miami is pretty funny.
Fuck Jimmy Butler, man. I'm so over Jimmy Butler. I don't know about you, but, yeah, what's he thinking, man? He almost likes everything around the fact and excitement that he's moving, and then he moves, and then the spotlight's on him, and then he moves again.
Yeah, it's the old grass is always greener for Jimmy Butler everywhere he goes, right? And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to go play with these young guys in Minnesota. Oh, these guys fucking suck. Get me to Philly. And it's like, oh, man, this is wicked. I'm a big boy, Jimmy Butler. Look at me. I'm going to win playoff series. I fucking hate you guys. I'm going to go to Miami. All right, this is going to be fucking perfect. And there's going to be beaches. I'm going to have, like, you know, Bloodsport James Johnson next to me and shit. It's going to be my motherfucking team. I'm going to be the new D-Wade. And everyone's like, Jimmy, good luck on your, you know, road to the first round exit, you fuckhead. Like, what are you doing?
He's such a lemon, isn't he? I mean, what does he think? It's such a Jimmy Butler thing to go to Miami. I mean, he had it so good in Philly, dude. It's like, yeah, it's just textbook Jimmy Butler, isn't it?
I dig it. All right, let's get stuck into some yeah nahs. We're going to fang through all this. We're going to try to touch on a bunch of different topics. There's a whole bunch of shit to cover, obviously. I mean, we talked about a bunch of them on Monday, the big sort of moves, and there's been a sort of flurry since where it's like, oh, wow, okay, Enes Kanter, sure. We're gonna look at some big picture stuff, but also, you know, a couple of actual specific teams. But first off the bat, the big sort of meta picture of this all, Matt, has this free agency been so psycho and so much of, like, a crazy fucking avalanche of moves? Do you reckon it's almost a byproduct of how much people want to see movement between, like, teams and everything? And then the players are kind of like, oh, actually, fuck yeah, that would be pretty sick. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. I'm going, I'm with you. It's like, it just seems so much, no one seems stable anymore. Like, it's so rare to see one player staying in one place that it's almost just like there's so much buzz around moving and starting something new. And if something doesn't work, you know, within a year and 2 years, it seems like that's the natural thing to do now rather than sticking it out, right?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I sort of love, like, I think it's been building to this basically ever since like 2010. Because I don't know if you remember, like 2007, like when the Knicks are sort of like, all right, fuck it, we need to clear out some cap space because of LeBron James in 2010. Everyone's like, 2010? That's like 2.5 years away. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And then it's sort of been steadily building to this point where it's like, you know, 2016, we had the giant cap explosion and everyone's just throwing around money like they're James Harden at a strip club. Like, it's just fucking bananas, right? And then this year, we've just got like the sheer breadth and width of free agency this year, I think, was probably a little bit underrated. There's just like free agents fucking everywhere. And then suddenly you do have like, you know, other dudes that slipping under the radar, like Porzingis finally signing that 5-year extension and stuff like that, where you're like, oh, yeah, geez, all right, sure. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And it's just more big names now. Like before, like last couple of years, there's been like one or two big player moves, but now there's just there's heaps. And you're right, it's just like open the floodgates for and things that you just don't think are going to happen, like fucking Kevin Durant moving from Golden State to Brooklyn. Who would have thought that when he was at OKC? You know, 3 or 4 years ago. It's mental.
Yeah, the coward snake finally, you know, not coward snaking his way to a new team, but kind of coward snaking. Not quite a free agency one, but an Australian one. Is Big Simo Ben Simmons actually worth that 5-year, $170 million extension he's getting from the Sixers? That came out today, basically.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Yeah, nah?
I don't know, man. I'm going to go love Big Simo, but nah, unless this jump shot comes along, right?
Yep.
I mean, It has to happen, and it has to be. It's almost like there's so much pressure on it that as soon as he starts shooting, it has to be good from the get-go, because there's not going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of backlash about, you know, whether if he's not making shots.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth it just because like the talent is there, and like the salary cap is not likely to go too far down in the near future. The way that money keeps pouring into the NBA, I think fuck it. You know, he's been in the NBA for 2 years. How old is he? He's 22. Like, fuck it.
Exactly.
Lock him up. Whatever.
Exactly, man. And he's a machine. And he's going to draw. He's going to draw players for that threat. People are always going to want to play with him.
Yeah. Well, with him, Embiid, Harris. I mean, it's cool that you've kind of locked in your idea of a team for a little while. And I think, shit, they had to do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
You figure it out later. Exactly. That's kind of my approach to all these sort of things.
And it's like, it seems like everyone in Philly wants to, apart from Jimmy Butler, like they want to stay and play and do something in Philly. Like Tobias Harris as well, resigning. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I like that JJ Redick is also just kind of like, you know what? I'm more after like podcast content, so I'm going to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, man, totally.
I'll have Lonzo Ball. I'll have Zion. This would be fucking great for my show.
Yeah, man, exactly.
Nice
I actually
one.
Haven't listened to that yet. What's it like?
It's pretty good. I mean, he's a really good interviewer. He's very staid and very measured in the way that he talks about things. And, you know, when I was at Duke and when I played with blah, 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 you're like, all right, cool, JJ. It's not quite like, you know, my fucking ADD riddled fucking insanity that I'm usually spewing. So, yeah, it's a little bit little bit different, you know.
I remember watching that mini doco on YouTube about him moving to Philly.
Yeah.
Do you remember just seeing that?
Yeah.
Like very level.
Yeah, he's a cool fucking guy. It's funny that he almost already has that podcast, NPR podcast kind of vibe about it, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, next up. So sort of speaking of the Sixers, hey, he goes to Miami. We've already sort of talked about this, but does he really actually make Miami or our Miami any better than a first round exit in the East? Yeah,
No, he doesn't. There's just no. I just can't see it working, man. I mean, the East is so competitive now. Like, what does Butler think he's going to do there? Like, they lost Dragic as well. Like, who's left? They lost Whiteside to Portland. Like, who's there now?
Well, it's Bam Adebayo, and I fucking love Bam Adebayo.
Me too, man.
You've got
too.
James Johnson, Bloodsport over there. You've got Justice Winslow. Dragic is still floating around. He's still on the team for the moment because they didn't really figure out where the fuck he was going, right? And so they got rid of Whiteside instead. So maybe it's Dragic, but at the same time, they're also trying to like still fang Dragic off. So it doesn't seem or feel like a contender in the very fucking least, does it? It kind of feels like those shitty Bulls teams that he was on, but not even quite as talented. So
exactly right. Yeah, I think he really made a mistake by leaving Philly. I think that he really should have tried to stay there. Yeah. I can't see Miami doing anything, man.
So the next side of this is what people then always talk about. It's like, oh, the hard part is getting the first star. And then when you get that first star, other stars are going to come play with that star. Do you actually believe that anyone wants to come play with Jimmy Butler at this point, Matt? Yeah, nah.
No fucking way. Whoever wants to, every team he's gone to, it's been toxic. No one's going to, Jimmy, oh, all right. I just think Jimmy Butler is so overrated. So overrated. He's a great player. And he'll be a great one star at that team, but the team's not going to do anything. Who's going to want to go and play with Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I mean,
who?
When you've got a reputation for like rocking up to a team and going, all right, fuck all you guys, I'm going to either fight you or try to beat you, and I'm going to play country music while I'm fucking doing it. He's burnt every franchise that he's been on basically to the ground on his way out. Like, who the fuck is looking around going, you know who I want to play with? That fucking guy. Yes.
Yeah, but then who knows? He's going to want to leave in a year. He'll find a way to leave.
Yeah. Maybe Kevin Love, like, it's kind of like the only name I can really sort of conjure up where Kevin Love's kind of like, you know what, fuck it, whatever. I just want to get the fuck out of Cleveland.
Yeah, there's got to be a bit of that going on now, surely, right?
Yeah, nice. All right, next up, was Golden State exiling Andre Iguodala to Memphis, of all fucking places, one of the coldest moves ever?
I know, man. I know. I don't know. How? Yeah. I mean, like, surely everybody knows that there's a chance of them being traded, but that was brutal, wasn't it?
They're like, we need a bit of cap space. See ya. Thanks, finals MVP and dude who basically saved a couple of our seasons. See ya.
Totally. And he played pretty well in the last playoff series when everyone was down. You know, like, he's so reliable and he's such a... I'm shattered. And, you know, if he stays at Memphis, he's going to be too old by the time they rebuild and, you know, give it another crack. So it's pretty sad, man. Pretty sad. Poor Iggy. Yeah, Iggy, right?
Iggy's going to end up on the Lakers anyway, so he'll be fine. But it's also, like, it's still not as cool. Like, even though he went on the Breakfast Club radio show and was, like, you know, airing all that Golden State dirty laundry about playing hurt and how they misdiagnosed him and they probably misdiagnosed Durant, all that sort of shit, it's still probably not quite as cold as Danny Ainge, like, exiling Isaiah Thomas. Like, you know, a 5'9 folk hero, the king in the fourth. His sister dies, he smashes his face,
he's
playing through an injured
hip,
and it's like fucking bang. And they traded him.
Yeah, that was dirty, man. Now I remember that. That was cold, man. He played a day after his sister died.
Brutal.
And he played his ass off. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a legend. Kills me. But anyway, now he's on Washington. Maybe he can recapture some of the glory. I don't know.
Hopefully, man.
He's hoping. Moving on, actually kind of still talking about Golden State. Hey, does D'Angelo Russell even vaguely work on Golden State? Yeah, nah.
Well, yeah, while there's no Clay, but I don't know. I'm not sold. Like, what did you think? Like, first off, I thought it was a very strange move. Are there talks of getting rid of him, though, to free up some money to get other players? That's what I've heard this morning. Well, are they going to keep him?
Well, it's a smart move, right? Because it's Golden State going, look, we're going to lose Kevin Durant for either nothing or a good young all-star who's 23 on a big contract that we can then flip for other stuff or at least keep him if we think the fit's really good. So,
totally. He played so well last year and it's going to work. So, yeah, it's going to be – Golden State is still going to be exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to change too much. Having him there and Steph, Andre,
I think he's a good.
He's going to be exciting to watch.
He's a good paper mache kind of cover the gaps while Clay's out. Because, like, you know me, I've fucking watched a shit ton of Brooklyn Nets in my time, even though I'm not a Nets fan. But, you know, I still watch a shit ton of them. And then this season, D'Angelo was just so up and down. But, you know, when he was good, you're like, fuck, this guy is really good. And then he was bad, you're like, fuck, this guy sucks. And you just got to hope that, you know, playing next to Steph in Golden State for, you know, maybe half a year or a year, maybe 2 years, who fucking knows, shows, you know, how the consistency can sort of come and, like, you know, maybe he grows into an even better sort of version of what we thought he could be. And maybe Clay comes back and they have all three of them, but I can't quite see that. So I think, you know, it's a paper mache sort of like covering for a little bit and then we seem traded. So
I think you're right, though. You put a player like that around someone like Steph and that franchise, it's definitely going to bring out the best in him for sure.
Next up, the Sixers. I mean, how do you like the fit now? Josh Richardson, Al Horford, are the Sixers legit contenders going into this season, Matt?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, obviously, it depends where Kawhi, whether he stays in Toronto or if he goes to the Lakers, like we were talking about before. But for sure, they're a big team now, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. They are fucking the tallest team of all time almost now. It's going to be interesting to see how it gels. What are your thoughts on Al Horford?
I think it's a great move because, A, you get rid of the biggest impediment to Embiid in the East, and then you also get to spell Embiid during the season, right? So he doesn't have to play 38 minutes a game. Right. And you can also play them both together. I think they're both stretchy, big dudes who can sort of also defend and be fucking badasses together. I feel like their like games actually kind of match up pretty nice because both can pop, both can roll. Yep. Like, it's pretty fucking easy. And I love Josh Richardson. Like, I really have a soft spot in my heart for Richo. Like, he's the smallest guy on their team and he's 6'7". Like, that's fucking crazy.
It's crazy, right? Defensively, they're going to be so strong. But I'd say, look, they'd almost have to be the favorites now, right?
I think Utah will probably be Houston, Utah, the Lakers once they get Kawhi. Like,
oh, sorry. Just men in the East. But, totally.
It's a good question, actually. Yeah, it depends on if Kawhi stays in Toronto. Boston, I feel like, will be pretty tough still with Kemba, as you pointed out. But, they've got to be right back up there. And I just really like the fit. Like, the fact that Joel Embiid went from being guarded by Al Horford to being guarded by Enes Kanter. Like, get the fuck out of here. Right? Like, the Sixers are going to win the East. That's crazy.
Totally, man. I'm with you.
Nice one. Flipping it to the other side, are the Jazz, after getting Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jeff Green, and even fucking Manny Moutier today, are they the best team in the West? Yeah, nah.
I'm so excited about Utah, man. They are going to be an exciting team to watch next year, right? I'm sure you saw that training footage of Connolly and Mitchell practicing and getting along and happy day. It's going to be fun to watch, man. I mean, they're going to be an exciting team to watch. Like, I'd much rather watch them play than Houston or, you know, a couple of the other teams. Like, fuck, you know, like, it's exciting and it's good, man. I want Utah to be great because they're a very likable team. Obviously, Joe Ingles, who we both absolutely love. It's going to be great to watch, man. They're certainly going to be up there, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think sneakily, as long as Dante Exum comes back healthy as well, it means they've got another big-bodied guard there behind Conley and Mitchell. Manny Moutier, basically, that's a really good guard rotation as long as they're all kind of healthy. Like, Moutier, Exum are very fucking hit and miss, obviously, but at the same time, they're big dudes and they can probably defend their asses off. Like, the Jazz could be a fucking problem. I dig it.
Oh, dude, I hope so. I absolutely hope so.
All right, what else do we do here at NBA Australia, Matt? We also don't mind, you know, a bit of a feed at Outback Takehouse. So let's step on in to Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Walkabout Wednesdays. That's West Sydney Razorback Ribs with West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker cooking up some West Sydney Razorback Ribs. And today's Outback Takehouse, Matt, it's on the specials board. It's got to do with the Knicks. The New York Knickerbockers of New York City dodged a bullet by not signing a one-legged crybaby in a locker room cancer to $300 million worth of contracts. And they'll eventually be proven right when everything collapses in Brooklyn in 2 years' time. Only at Outback. Wow, what do you reckon? You're going to buy that one from Outback Takehouse? You're going to get that specials board?
Yeah, I'll get the specials. Why not, man? I'll get anything from the Outback, man. I listen to that show. I love it. It's the Knicks, man. Holy hell. Holy moly. Jesus Christ, man. I can't even believe it.
I mean, as a Knicks fan, are you just now at the point where you're like, fuck it. Nothing's ever going to change. Look, we're going to go back to Yanars in a second, but I mean, come on. This is like enough is enough, right? Like, do you actually consider becoming a Nets fan?
Dude, it's like, very tempting, and I am a Knicks fan, and I have thought about it. And yeah, it's just like, when are things going to change? And it's so funny, like, just before free agency, you know, getting rid of Porzingis, what a stupid move that was, because it was so obvious that Kyrie and KD, they were never going to go to the Knicks. If they were going to team up, the Knicks, they would never go there. They've got no track record of doing anything right. Mark Dolan is insane and the worst owner in the NBA by a country mile.
James Dolan. Who's Mark Dolan?
James Dolan. Mark is his dad. And then you get rid of DeAndre Jordan as well. Like, and DeAndre Jordan was best friends with Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Like, there's your in to Kevin Durant. You don't even use it. You don't even play DeAndre Jordan when he gets there. So it's like, Oh, man, I don't even know. It's a disgrace. I'm sure you've seen all the funny Stephen A. Smith videos on the internet. I guess that kind of sums up how I'm feeling too.
Yeah, I mean, is this actually like the most embarrassing outcome for the Knicks? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like, we gave Porzingis away. It's just like, where does it end? They seem like they're pretty optimistic on Facebook by posting happy pictures of everyone, but I mean, it's got to be a cover up, right? Because it's a disaster. I mean, it's just mofo. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to. I want to hear someone who doesn't go for the Knicks' opinion on it. So why don't you give me your spell on it?
So
because,
it is really embarrassing because it's pretty clear that they traded Porzingis, going, oh yeah, we're definitely getting Kyrie and KD, and then KD's injury happens, and you're like, all right, well, maybe we're not going to get KD, but fuck it. Like, if you're the Knicks, you still do it. But it seemed at this point there was like a pivot from Kyrie going, man, I ain't going to the Knicks. I want to go to fucking Brooklyn. And as soon as this happened, like, the Knicks didn't really do anything to sort of really alleviate fans' concerns, right? They go out and so they miss out on KD, but then the report comes out that they didn't even offer him the max, which is fucking embarrassing point number one.
Yeah.
Then they sign four different power forwards to like a combined $70 million for the next 2 years. And you're like, what the fuck are they doing? Why are they signing so many spuds? Like, I get that Taj Gibson's a good dude. I know that Julius Randle's like a pretty good contract and a pretty good player. But $21 million a year for the next 3 fucking years for Julius Randle, like when everybody else probably would have maybe topped out at about $15, $16 million and probably only 2 years. Yeah, I get that it's a team option for the third year, but still, like...
It was so frustrating because it's not a one-off. Like, this happens all the time. Like, I've been following the Knicks my whole life and we've been rubbish the whole time. And it's just, the most frustrating thing is it doesn't seem like anything's going to change. You know, like, probably what's going to happen, RJ Barrett's going to be a phenomenal player and we're going to trade him for nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like, there's just no, it's hard to be optimistic about anything with the Knicks. It's so frustrating. And all the Knicks fans that listen to your podcast will know, it's just like, you know, you're almost used to it, as bad as that sounds. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the abusive relationship where you're like, oh, no, it's fine. They'll change.
Yeah.
And they never will.
It's exactly that.
Well, the best part is you've now got 2021 to look forward to, and they'll convince you that it's like, no, we're right in this with Giannis. It's going to be awesome. Giannis is definitely going to come to New York. And meanwhile, Giannis is just definitely not going to come to New York because they're a shit show.
Oh, mate, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's almost funny. Yeah, that's how ridiculous it's gotten.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
As a Knicks fan, like, would you ever actually see James Dolan selling the team? Like, would you actually ever see that happening? Yeah, nah.
He seems mad. You know what I mean? Like, kicking out fans for, you know, the most ridiculous thing. Who did he kick out? One of the Knicks legends. He kicked him out for...
kicked Charles Oakley out and called him drunk.
Charles Oakley, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
So it's just insane. Like, how do you convince anyone to sell a team? I don't know. It's just like, how do you, you know, as long as he's there, it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah. Look, for a moment there, it almost felt like before the Knicks embarrassingly released that statement from their GM where it's like, hey, man, we know that you might be a bit disappointed, but nah, it's still good. Like, nah. It's still good. It's a bit wet, but it's still good. It's a bit slimy. It's still good. I almost thought for a second there that, like, this had been such an abject failure on Dolan's behalf and, like, him going out and promising Knicks fans that, yeah, man, we're going to get free agents. It's going to be fucking sick. I've already, like, you know, heard back channels about how great we're going to go and, like, we're going to get all these great free agents. Like, we might have almost gotten to the point where it was going to be like the first social media shame spiral that would have ended up with someone selling a team, right? It almost seems like what's in it for James Dolan at this point, right? Like, apart from making a shit ton of money from the Knicks and MSG day in, day out, but like every other rich person he knows is probably going to be like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, he's just... He's a fucking moron. Like, if you're a rich guy in New York and you're not trying to curry favor with James Dolan and get your courtside seats to the Knicks, like, you've just got to be like, dude, he's a fucking dipshit. Like, he's only got money because of his dad. He's a fucking idiot. But James Dolan just seems so oblivious that he's like, I don't fucking care. And don't forget, man, this is America. Like, we've seen literally everyone associated with the current president look like a fucking moron. And they don't give a shit because they've got that power and they've got that money. So they don't really care. So I don't really, Like Donald Sterling, you need a Donald Sterling thing, right? You need a James Dolan, like dropping a Donald Sterling, like something crazily horrible, like, you know, racist, sexist, something like that, where we get to drop the hammer or something.
Well, it seems like this is the turning point. It seems like everything's been building up to something like this, and not signing anyone in this free agency period just seems to, like, the backlash has kind of already begun, as you're seeing. So, I mean, it's so depressing.
Like, the sadness and disappointment in your voice is just, it's dripping with it.
it's just like basketball. It's like, and you would know this, like, as we both speak, like, basketball has never been more popular in Australia, and it's exciting. You can talk to people about it. Most people have some idea. And then, you know, when you go for a team that is so bad and so that it looks like it's never going to be good,
sucks the life out of you. All right, I got a couple more, just real quick. Is there any hope for Boston this year? I think we kind of already touched on with Kemba being there and being an under-the-radar, actually awesome pickup. So, yeah, nah.
Yeah, it depends on who else they pick up, really. I mean, there were rumors of Steven Adams. I mean, how crazy would that be? That would be insane. But, yeah, I think they'll be okay. I don't think they'll win, though.
Yeah, they've sort of... You know, Kemba, Gordon Hayward, the double J's, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Enes the Penis Kanter now at center. Yeah, their big man rotation is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I hope that Hayward has a good year, though. I think everyone would like to see him playing well. And yeah, I mean, God, I feel a bit sorry for him, to be honest. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I can't see them winning, but I think they'll do okay.
Yeah,
you know?
There's hope.
They'll do all right.
Two more, second last one. Should actual Brooklyn Nets fans, all eight of them, be pissy at the amount of sudden Brooklyn Nets fans there'll be?
Yeah, absolutely. God, imagine what it's going to be like here in Australia too. Insane, man.
I've literally been the only person I've ever seen in Australia wear a Brooklyn Nets jersey, and that's like, you know, my old Paul Pierce one that I wear when I'm running. Like, it's not my fancy one. It's going to be a million Irving ones. There's going to be a million Durant ones. It's going to be pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
I saw this happen when they signed Jeremy Lin, and then suddenly you'd go to every Brooklyn home game, and there'd be like a shit ton of Asian fans. And you're like, well, that's fucking cool. Like, they're picking up almost like niche basketball fandom bits. And it was really cool and it was really fun. And like, suddenly there was like a little bit of life in that building where there was none for so long. So look, Nets fans will be stoked. The original ones there, you know, me sitting there amongst them all shit-faced usually at Barclays. Like, it was this, you know, weird mix of like, at least fuck it, who cares, depressing kind of, we're here to see the other team anyway. The beers in the stadium are really good. There's great pho around the corner. There's a great sushi place over there. Screw it, whatever. At least we're here watching basketball, right? Yeah, it's going to be a weird vibe now. But anyway, I mean, they can't get angry.
Let me ask you, what do you think of the KD and Kyrie trade?
I think Kyrie, like, he's just a better version of D'Angelo Russell. He's 4 years older, and I think they'll be better with Kyrie this year than they would have been probably even with D'Angelo. I think D'Angelo is just a little bit too mercurial, as I mentioned. But, I mean, when we say mercurial, so is fucking Kyrie. But at least he's, like, basketball consistent, you know? You can at least bank on him going, fuck it, I'm going to get 25 tonight, no problems. And it'll be reasonably efficient, usually. And I think he's just a better basketball player overall. And then you've got KD coming back a little bit, you know, in a year's time, probably. He'll be, like, the best stretch four ever. And then you've got, I think they had to do it. You just pay for it. You go, fuck it. We've got Kevin Durant. If he comes back and if he's like 80% of what he was, then we're fucking laughing. And if he's at 50% of it, or, you know, he has recurring problems, then look, you took your swing, you missed, whatever. Like, at least you've gotten Brooklyn firing and back on the basketball map, and, you know, in a way that hasn't happened since 2014 when they had Pierce and KG. So good on him. Yeah, I think it's all right. I think it's a good basketball fit as well, but I think there will be those sort of rumblings in about 18 months time where it's like, can Kyrie and Kevin Durant play together on the same team? And that'll be precipitated by the, is Kenny Atkinson the right coach for this Brooklyn Nets team? And it's like, just going to be a fucking spiral of assholery. All right. Last one though, Matt, last one.
Yep.
All right. Nothing has happened yet. We're taping this. What is it? It's almost noon Wednesday, Australia time, July 3. Kawhi is still up in the air. It's basically him and Boogie are the only two people who haven't signed anywhere. Will Kawhi Leonard end up as a Los Angeles Laker? Yeah, nah.
I hope nah. I please nah. It just no nah. It was just like the Kawhi is just like an enigma, isn't it? Like, we love Kawhi for being different. We love Kawhi for being himself, being a one man show who'll take on anyone, and to join LeBron and AD. Holy hell, man. It would just, surely not, right? Like, you're with me. Surely he's not going to do it.
I don't want him to do it, but, and I've been yelling about this probably for the last week or so, that there is no way he'd go to LA to be the third banana behind LeBron and AD. But I feel like after the meetings and everything that they've had, it sort of seems like LeBron has at least kind of told Kawhi that, hey, man, you're going to be like the number one guy here. It's going to be you and AD. And I'm going to, you know, I've got a couple of years left playing really good. So let's do it now. It's going to be awesome. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, fuck, man, Kawhi would be pretty smart to go, oh, who are the best, like, well, who's the best player I could go play with? Like Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, or fucking Anthony Davis. Holy shit.
Not bad, is it? Don't get me wrong. I mean, it'd be great to watch, but I'd love him to go to the Clippers, man. I love that Clippers team. They're so, I would so much prefer that, just for the rivalry as well. Those LA games would be huge.
Yeah.
And just to stick it up LeBron, man, like, fuck. Don't go with LeBron, man. Come on. Clippers.
I hear you. It's like, come on, man. Like, now LeBron's in the D-Wade mode, where D-Wade convinced LeBron and Bosch to go to him in Miami, and now LeBron's kind of in that spot where it's like he's got an AD and now he's trying to convince Kawhi to come as well. I don't know, man. It's look, if it happens, it'll be fucking wild, because then somehow they've got to build out the rest of that roster out of nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, then at least you've got another big sort of super team that sort of makes shit interesting. But if Kawhi, like, stays in Toronto or goes to the Clippers, I much prefer the spread out superstar approach of everything, right? Because next year could be just fucking completely wide open. If he goes to the Lakers, they instantly become favorites, and you're like, oh, here we go fucking again. Jesus.
Yeah, man. Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, and Kawhi, they seem like a good, you know, that's a good hustling team right there. You know, playing old school basketball, you know, fucking, yeah, that would excite me more. But please don't go to Lakers.
A lot of feistiness.
In saying this, though, as we're talking, though, he's probably signed to Lakers as we speak.
Probably. Yeah, this is going to date very horribly in like fucking 15 minutes, no doubt. nice one. All right, man. Thanks heaps for coming on. Go check out Hoops Podcast. They're fucking awesome. Two of the smartest basketball minds you'll find, and very entertaining. Oh. And British India, hell of a band. Go listen to them or I'll fucking fire. Matt, legendary.
Thanks so much for having me on, man. This is my favorite podcast that I listen to. I listen to it every day. It's an honor to be on. Thanks so much. And Kawhi to the Clippers, right? Please.
Dig it. Awesome. All right. Thanks, man. We'll get you on again at some point, huh?
Thanks, man.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Thanks heaps to Matt. Go check out Hoops Podcast and all the great stuff he does. British India are awesome as well. We're going to do a quick Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, and Patty is back. Absolutely legendary, legendary photo up on Instagram from Pat. IG'd out. Tis da week at Miss Alyssa Michelle. Count it down. Hashtag Millie Drip. And that's Patty going to the NBA Awards, looking absolutely fire, and his missus absolutely stunning as well. Patty, that is absolutely legendary. Absolutely classic work from Patty Mills. So there you go. All right. Awesome. That's it for today. Sweet. As mentioned, thanks heaps to Matt O'Gorman for coming on. Go check out the Hoops Podcast. It is wicked, wicked stuff all the time. He and Mike are unreal. They're very, very smart. As I said, two of the better basketball minds going around. So go support them. It was awesome to have him on. All right, we're back on Friday, coming in hot with all the latest free agency stuff, probably breaking down where Kawhi's ended up, all the other insanity floating around the NBA. You know, that's just what we do. Also, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that sort of junk. We're all over the socials all the time, you know that. And we've also got the NBA Australia Never Forget series kicking off again. So get around that. Also, get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit, from Amazon. First, go to NBAAustralia.com, click on the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side, then go buy your shit. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Come on, man. Helps us out. Come on, dude. Let's do this. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you're using on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. We're all over that. If you can rate and review us, it helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out, and it is an absolute corker. Legendary. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, man. That's it. We're going to close out with a brand new Jingles HR. And we will talk to you again on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! Oh, g'day you jingler jokers. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia. Yep, I'm just here answering all your workplace related questions, because when I'm not sinking threes, watching My Kitchen Rules, or taking the kids to watch the missus play netball, I'm the best bloody HR professional you'll find, because nobody knows HR quite like the jingler. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? Alright, here we go. Dear Joe, I am moving to a new city to start a new job with a new company, but I hooked it all up before I had an accident, so now I'm also on disabled leave for probably the next 12 months or so. Do you have any tips for what I could do to get to know my fellow employees before I'm actually working with them? Thanks a lot, Kevin, New York City. Oh, geez, thanks for writing in, Kevin, and look, yeah, man, this is a tricky one, I'll tell you. Moving to a new city for a new job with a new company is always hard. And usually I'd trot out the old Jingles HR company line of, you know, take them out for beers, come up with fun handshakes, maybe try an escape room or go-karting. But look, being on disabled leave, that throws a bit of a spanner in the works, you know. So look, what I'd suggest is still trying to be around the office as much as you can and contribute what you can in other facets of the business, you know. Like, maybe helping sorting out the mail, or designing new company stationery, or organizing the lunch orders every day or something through like Uber Eats, you know? But making a good impression when they're already paying you and you can't do much to help out is pretty bloody crucial in making sure that your new workmates respect you and what you bring to the table. I mean, are you a good cook? Maybe once a week cooking up some cupcakes, or being the birthday monitor is something you could consider. I mean, if nothing else, it'd take the load off HR trying to sort out all those birthdays, you know. I mean, at Jingles HR, I instituted that one birthday cake a month policy as it was just getting too out of bloody hand. And we've only got two employees. So, look, you could be the smiling face all your new workmates see every time they have a birthday. How good would that be? I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, sometimes it's better to be known as someone who does stuff than actually doing stuff. So there you go, Kevin. Just help out where you can and just sort of be around to get known as the new bloke who's super helpful. That's just good HR practice. All right. So look, I hope that helps and best of luck. And we'll be back next week on NBA Australia with more Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up ya.